Chapter 34. Alexander shows mortification.
Russia's a shuffler, England a self-seeker, nobility has shown in you alone. Your error grew of over-generous dreams, and misbeliefs by dullard ministers. By treating personally we speed affairs more in an hour than they in blundering months. Between us two, henceforth, must stand no third. There's peril in it, while England's mean ambition still works to get us skewered by the ears, and in this view your chiefs of staff concur. Alexander, the judgment of my officers I share.
Napoleon, to recapitulate, nothing can greet you like this alliance. Providence has flung my good friend Sultan Selim from his throne, leaving me free in dealings with the port, and I discern the hour as one to end a rule that time no longer lets cohere. If I abstain, its spoils will go to swell the power of this same England, Arnoy, that country which enchains the trade of towns with such bold reach as to monopolize, among the rest, the whole of Petersburg's A. Through her purse, friend, as the lender there. Shutting that purse, she may incite to what? Muscovy's fall, its ruler's murdering. Her fleet at any minute, can encoop yours in the Baltic, in the Black Sea too, and keep you snug as minnows in a glass. Hence we, fast fellowed by our mutual foes, seaward the British, Germany by land, and having compassed, for our common good, the Turkish Empire's due partitioning, as comrades can conjointly rule the world to its own gain and our eternal fame.
Alexander stirred and flushed, I see vast prospects opened.
Yet, in truth, ere you, sire, broach these themes, their outlines loom not seldom in my own imaginings. But with less, clear a vision than endow so great a captain, statesman, philosoph, a center in yourself, whom had I known sooner by some few years, months, even weeks, I had been spared full many a fault of rule. Now as to Austria, should we call her in?
Napoleon, two in a bed I have slept, but never three.
Alexander, ha ha! Delightful! And, then nextly, Spain?
Napoleon, I lighted on some letters at Berlin, wherein King Carlos offered to attack me. A Bourbon, minded thus, so near as Spain, is dangerous stuff. He must be seen too soon. A draft, then, of our treaty being penned, we will peruse it later. If King George will not, upon the terms there offered him, conclude a ready peace, he can be forced. Trumpet yourself as France's firm ally, and Austria will feign to do the same. England, left nude to such joint harassment, must shiver fall.
Alexander, with naive enthusiasm,
it is a great alliance.
Napoleon, would it were one in blood as well as brain of family hopes, and sweet domestic bliss.
Alexander, is it to my sister you refer?
Napoleon, the launching of a lineal progeny has been much pressed upon me, much, of late, for reasons which I will not dwell on now.
Staid counselors, my brother Joseph too, urge that I lose the empress by divorce, and rewive promptly for the country's good. Princesses even have been named for me. However this, today, is premature, and twixt ourselves alone. The Queen of Prussia must ere long be here.
Berthier escorts her.
And the king, too, comes.
She's one whom you admire?
Alexander, reddening ingenuously,
yes.
Formerly I had, did feel that some faint fascination vaguely adorned her form. And, to be plain, certain reports have been calumnious, and wronged an honest woman.
Napoleon, as I knew.
But she is wearing thready.
Why, her years must be full 31, if she's one.
Alexander, quickly,
no, sire. She's 29.
If traits teach more, it means that cruel memory gnaws at her as fair incident to that fatal war which broke her to the dust.
I do confess,
since now we speak on,
that this sacrifice Prussia is doomed to still disquiets me.
Unhappy king!
When I recall the oath sworn him upon great Frederick's sepulchre, and my promises to his sad queen, it pricks me that his realm and revenues should be stripped down to the mere half they were.
Napoleon, coolly,
believe me, 'tis but my regard for you which lets me leave him that. far easier twere to leave him none at all.
He rises and goes to the window.
But here they are. No, it's the queen alone, with Berthier as I directed. Then the king will follow.
Alexander, let me, sire, urge your courtesy to bestow some gentle words on her.
Napoleon, I will.
Enter Queen Louisa of Prussia on the arm of Berthier. She appears in majestic garments, and with a smile on her lips, so that her still great beauty is impressive. But her eyes bear traces of tears. She accepts Napoleon's attentions with the stormily sad air of a wounded beauty. Whilst she is being received, the king arrives. He is a plain, shy, honest-faced, awkward man, with a wrecked and solitary look. His manner to Napoleon is, nevertheless, dignified, and even stiff. The company move into the inner half of the room, where the tables are, and the folding doors being shut, they seat themselves at dinner, the queen taking a place between Napoleon and Alexander.
Napoleon, madam, I love magnificent attire, but in the present instance can, but note that each bright knot and jewel less adorns the brighter wearer than the wearer it.
Queen, with a sigh,
you praise one, sire, whom now the wanton world has learned to cease from praising. But such words from such a quarter are of worth no less.
Napoleon, of worth as candor, madam, not as gauge. Your reach in rarity outsoars my scope. Yet, do you know, a troop of my hussars, that last October day, nigh captured you?
Queen, nay. Never a single Frenchman did I see.
Napoleon, not less it was that you exposed yourself, and should have been protected. But at Weimar, had you but sought me, twould have bettered you.
Queen, I had no zeal to meet you, sire, alas.
Napoleon, after a silence, and how at Memel, do you sport with time?
Queen, sport?
I pore on moldy chronicles, and muse on usurpations long forgot, and other history dramas of high wrong.
Napoleon, why con not annals of your own rich age? They treasure acts well fit for pondering.
Queen, I am reminded too much of my age by having had to live in it. May heaven defend me now, and my wan ghost anon, from conning it again.
Napoleon, alas, alas! Too grievous, this, for one who is yet a queen.
Queen, no, I have cause for vials more of grief. Prussia was blind in blazoning her power against the mage of earth. The embers of great Frederick's deeds inflamed her. His glory swelled her to her ruining. Too well has she been punished.
Emotion stops her. Alexander, in a low voice, looking anxiously at her,
say not so. You speak as all were lost. Things are not thus. Such desperation has unreason in it, and bleeds the hearts that crave to comfort you.
Napoleon, to the king, I trust the treaty, further pondered, sire, has consolations?
King, curtly, I am a luckless man, and muster strength to bear my lucklessness without vain hope of consolations now. One thing, at least, I trust I have shown you, sire, that I provoke not this calamity. At Anspach first my feud with you began. Anspach, my Eden, violated and shamed by blushless tramplings of your legions there.
Napoleon, it's rather late, methinks, to talk thus now.
King, with more choler.
Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.